Welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. And every Monday, we like to bring in Brady Beaton to talk about the Detroit Lions. In his In the Huddle feature today, Matt Shepard says, "Hey, yeah, we can nitpick, but why don't we just appreciate the fact that they're 2-0-1, because that doesn't happen a whole lot." Well, I'm sorry, Matt. I can't do it that way. I'm still too jaded, Brady. I know that they are 2-0-1. But I also know that that was a really ugly win yesterday. Yes, I'm happy they won. I'd rather be talking about them winning than losing. But, man, when are they going to win a game and make me feel like they're a good football team?
No, you're exactly right. But I think this kind of speaks to the progress this organization is making right now. When was the last time we got on the airwaves and were upset against a road with a road win against a playoff team from the year before, and we're saying they need to be better?
Yeah, everybody who wants to argue with me that I should be happier about this, you're all right. You are all right. But I just continue to look at this. Okay, number one, we still cannot, for the life of us, run the football.
No. That's probably the biggest issue with the team right now.
And that was what they had planned with Bevel coming in. And it's not like they don't have talent back there, Brady. They've got Kerryon Johnson. I really like Ty Johnson. I mean, they've got people back there that should be able to rush the football. And yet, the front line, that when the Eagles knew the run was coming, the Lions couldn't run against them. Our offensive line doesn't open any holes, doesn't get any push, and our backs have to juke guys in the backfield on every carry.
You're right. Kerryon Johnson had some extraordinary efforts just to get a yard or two on some runs. Looking at the game, though, like you said, you don't leave this game feeling like this team's really, really good. But I do think it speaks to where this fan base is, like I said earlier. They're expecting more. They're not going to just we're happy we're 2-0-1. This team, I think, can be good. And the fact that they played not their best game and won in Philadelphia says that the ceiling for this team might be high.
Again, maybe I'm nitpicking, but the Eagles were not at their best. They didn't have their full complement of players. They had 7 drops yesterday, 3 offensive pass interference calls, and they fumbled the ball a few times as well. And I'm not saying the Lions were lucky. They took advantage of what they were given with enough to get the win. And the Agnew play is the highlight of the season so far, the 100-yard kick return.
Right. And isn't that a funny play? Because Matt Patricia could have been buried today had he goes out there as the opening kickoff and fumbles. People are calling for Patricia's head today. But he bet on his guy, and you know what? I'll give him props. That's a tough call to make, because if we were talking last week about how Jamal Agnew was cut, I don't think a lot of people would have been surprised. But they stuck with their guy, and you know it. He rewarded them with their trust.
You know, he did have a big rookie season, and based on that, I can see giving a guy another chance. To either succeed or to fail. And fortunately for the Lions, he succeeded. But I don't know. I just come away with this still feeling queasy and uneasy, and I'm still bitter about week one. I can't let week one go. It haunts me in my dreams that we have to say 2-0-1 instead of 3-0.
Yeah, no, that is definitely frustrating. But looking forward, though, if Kansas City, does it matter how they win? If they win this game, do you start to, okay, this team might be legit? Or do they have to look good in doing it? Because, I mean, Kansas City is considered, one of the top-tier teams in the NFL, maybe a top 3 or 5 team?
Yeah, you know what? No matter how they do it, if they beat Kansas City, I will ease up. I have to. I don't have any choice. But here's my thing. Even though it's a home game, and even though we're 2-0-1, I don't think we're going to beat Kansas City.
I feel the same way. I don't think the Lions are going to bring in Patrick Mahomes and beat them. unless they play better. But then again, I texting you this week, I didn't think they were going to beat Philly. I thought it was going to come back to reality. And you know what? You grind out a win, you grind out a win. And 2-0-1 after the first three games and 2-0 in this gauntlet stretch of the schedule, I'm, all things considered, I'm going to take that as a Lions fan. No matter how bad they look, I still think they have room for improvement. They definitely do. But I'm going to take 2-0-1 when I can get 2-0-1.
Well, I can't argue it. Can't argue it. I can just tell you like how I feel down in the pit of my stomach. I don't have a good feel about this football team. Not yet. A good, clean win where they play a full four quarters of solid football would make me feel a whole lot better about what they're doing. The Arizona game will haunt me until the end of time. The Charger game was, again, good enough. And the Eagles game was good enough, but I think the Eagles had as much to do with the Lions winning yesterday as the Lions did.
Yeah, but how often has it, we've seen that Eagles game, but that blocked field goal is returned for a touchdown, or something else happens in that game where the Lions end up losing it, and you're going, you know what, the Eagles played bad, and it was a winnable game for the Lions, and they let it get away.
How does that happen? I mean, this is now twice in three games that in the fourth quarter, in a key situation, they've had a punt get blocked.
Yeah. The Arizona one was just a guy just got beat. It wasn't schematic. It was just a guy on the edge got beat with his one-on-one assignment. I'd have to look at the field goal again, but no, that needs to change. Special teams has been maybe the biggest downfall for this team outside of the Agnew touchdown.
All right, let's change gears. Let's talk a little college football, Brady. Harbaugh and the Wolverines did not look good on the road at Wisconsin. And finally now I'm hearing it nationally because I was flipping back and forth between the state game and the Michigan game. And when the score got 35-0, I flipped over and the color commentator doing the Spartan Northwestern game was commenting on the score of the Michigan game. And he is the first guy I've heard on national TV go, maybe we're overrating the Wolverines just a little bit. And he went to their record against top 10 opponents
and
things like that, going, why every year do we expect more than we get from Michigan?
No, you're 100% right. And there is no excuse. Harbaugh has his guy. Harbaugh has two quarterbacks to pick from. He's had full recruiting cycle. There's no excuse. Jim Harbaugh does not look like a championship caliber coach. He looks like he's, when the bright lights hit, he cowers away. Every big game he's been in, he's lost. And I don't know if you saw today, but there was some sports book had Jim Harbaugh not being the coach for week one of the 2020 season at negative odds, saying that it's more likely that he won't coach next year than will.
Wow.
Yeah. So those conversations need to be had because the athletic department in Ann Arbor needs to decide, do we just want to be nationally relevant and, you know, be in the top 25, play one or two big games a year, but never win the Big Ten or go to the playoff? Or are we just going to demand more? Same with the Lions fans. Are we going to demand more instead of just being relevant, win playoff games, do big things? Jim Harbaugh, people are really starting to turn on him. And I was having this conversation this weekend. Let me ask you this. Under Jim Harbaugh, who has been the best offensive player for the University of Michigan?
Now, that's a really difficult question because they haven't really had a standout superstar player, have they?
Jake Butt?
You know, yeah, Jake Butt. I mean, I can say that I liked guys. I liked Evans, but he wasn't like the best back in the nation or anything like that.
Right. I mean, Tariq Black and Donovan Peoples-Jones are supposed to be really good, but when am I going to see it? Now, let me ask you this. In the time Jim Harbaugh's been here, How many Ohio State offensive players would you take over would you name before the best Michigan offensive player?
Oh, every quarterback that the Buckeyes have had.
I mean, yeah, you have. I mean, I believe Braxton Miller was still there. J.T. Barrett, Dwayne Haskins, Cardale Jones, Curtis Samuel, Mike Weber, and that's just off the top of my head, six guys before you even get Paris Campbell in the receiving corps. Jim Harbaugh, whatever has happened, he's not a big-time head coach. He's all sizzle, no steak, all bark, no bite. And I think Michigan fans are starting to get sick of it when every time a big game happens, they lose.
Well, not just that, but they lose convincingly. Like I mean that was when it was 35-0. It felt like it was 70-0. You had 2 weeks to prepare for this football game, and you knew what was coming. You knew they were going to run Jonathan Taylor between the tackles down your throat, and that's exactly what they did.
Isn't it a bit of irony that Jim Harbaugh was trying to install the smash mouth pro style football team at Michigan, and the year he goes away from it to try to go to speed and space, Wisconsin does exactly what Harbaugh has been trying to do for 4 or 5 years now, and they just annihilate Michigan with the very offense he tried to install but couldn't.
It's interesting. How do they get so many good running backs in Wisconsin, or is it just the scheme they run?
I have no idea. Maybe because they always have a first-round NFL lineman there, too.
That helps.
Yeah, but no, you're right. It wasn't a schematic thing. It wasn't a coaching thing. Michigan just got bullied and beat up on Saturday, and you can't fix that. That goes back to practice. That goes back to the players you have in there. That goes to toughness. They just didn't look like a top-tier football team, not even close.
Wow. All right. Well, you guys did this week. Congratulations on the win there for the Warriors.
Thank you.
So I know that made it a little bit better bus ride because you guys had quite a trip, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep, Quincy, Illinois is about 10, 11 hours away on the Illinois-Missouri border. So,
well,
yeah, that was
– you're out by the Quad Cities.
Yes. Got back about 3:30 a.m. Sunday morning.
They didn't make you go to class today, did they? I mean, you're football players
have to go
after
to class
all.
Any day.
All right. All right. Thanks for doing this, Brady. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right. There's Brady Beaton, and we'll take a break. We'll be back with more of the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM.